Song of Solomon. We're turning there to the chapter 2. And our text for this morning is the verse 17. Verse 17. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. The bride here is hoping that soon, in her words, the day will break and the shadows of the night will flee away. This indicates that regarding the bride of the Song of Solomon, all is darkness. For her, it is a nighttime experience. Yet why would this be so? For her beloved has spoken with her and she with him. She has spoken of the mutual love and affection that they have one for the other. Read there in verse 4. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons and comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. You go down to verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. But something is wrong. Something is amiss, which has created this dark, gloomy outlook upon the bride. So what could it be? It would appear that her beloved had withdrawn himself from her, as we can see from the opening verses of the chapter 3. By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him and I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. That's what was wrong. Her beloved had withdrawn himself from her. The two were no longer in fellowship. They were no longer speaking with one another. Her beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And for the true devoted Christian, there is no night as dark as the night when our beloved withdraws himself and is gone. When the Christian is no longer aware of the abiding presence of the beloved, that is a dark hour indeed. But we might ask, why should that be? What would prompt the Lord to withdraw from us, to withdraw his presence from one of his own children? One answer could be sin. The believer may have grieved the Lord with his or her sin, some known sin in their life that they refused to give up. You turn to Hosea, first of the minor prophets. You have Daniel and then Hosea. And there in Hosea chapter 5, we're told in verse 4, Hosea 5 and verse 4, they will not frame their doings to turn on to their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. We go down to verse 6. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. Why? Because of sin. Because they've gone to worship other gods. And the Lord is grieved. And the Lord hath withdrawn himself from them. And when that happens, the erring Christian longs for the daybreak and longs to behold the shining face of the Savior once again. But then it may be, on the other hand, a slackness on the part of the Christian, as we have already seen here with the bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. There was a slackness, there was a slowness with her, slow to respond to the voice of her beloved. And she said there in the verse 2 of the chapter 5, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. She began to make excuse then why she couldn't open the door and admit her beloved. And when she finally did and opened the door, her beloved had withdrawn himself. She went out into the streets of Jerusalem to seek her beloved. It was for her a dark night once again. And if there's sin in our lives that we know of, and we refuse to put it under the blood and confess it, the Lord will withdraw himself from us. Will not be conscious of his presence. Will not know his blessing. And we shall long for the day to break and the shadows to flee away, that we might see the smiling face of Christ once more. Or maybe it is slackness on our part. A slackness that was evident with the bride. Not attending to those things that we ought to attend to. And then all is dark when the Lord withdraws himself. We have then the darkness before the dawn. And make no mistake about it, there will be a dawn. There will be the breaking of the day, as there was for the bride. As we see there in the third chapter, and this time in the verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I found him, I held him, and would not let him go. In other words, the day has dawned for the bride. Her beloved has returned. She has found him. And the shadows of the night have now passed away. The psalmist has said in Psalm 103, verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. So there will be the dawning of a new day, spiritually speaking, for us. So I want to consider then the darkness before the dawn. We see first of all the bride and her darkness. By these words which she spake in verse 17, the bride is indicating that because of her beloved's absence, she is having a nighttime experience. It is all night about her. And she says, until the daybreak, she's waiting until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. In other words, she's waiting for the hour whenever her beloved would return to her. It would be like the breaking of the day. When he would return, he would cause all the dark shadows of the night to be gone. For the bride and her darkness, it was first of all a lonely night. Knowing the Lord is with us in times of trouble, that is a great comfort. Sensing his presence, it is a great comfort and a source of great strength. And when we hear his sweet voice through the word, that word gives us strength. But when our beloved withdraws himself, withdraws his presence, and he is silent toward us, and we hear not his voice, then it becomes a dark and a lonely night. And how we long and wait for the breaking of the day and the shadows to flee away, when the Lord will come to us again and show his face and we'll hear his voice. Is that what David was watching for in his loneliness? For he said in Psalm 102, verse 7, I watched and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. What was he watching for? I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. He was watching for his Lord to reveal himself to him again. That's what he was watching for. Because in the same Psalm 102, in verse 2 we read, David says, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am troubled. You see, David had felt the Lord had hidden his face from him. Isn't that the way we see things at times in our days of trouble? We wonder why it seems the Lord has hidden his face from us, that he has withdrawn himself. And when we feel that the Lord has left us and withdrawn himself, it is dark. We wait for the hour when the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. We wait for the day that the Lord will show his smiling face once again and chase all the shadows of doubt and discouragement and disappointment away. There's a darkness, but there will be a dawn. The bride, here in her words, speaks not only of a lonely night, but surely she's referring to a long night. A long night. The night seems long. If we're troubled about something, and we waken about 2 o'clock, we wish we could get to sleep, and we can't sleep, but then we wish for the dawn of the day. Things will not appear just as bad when the sun comes up. And we wait through the long night until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. And of course the night seems so long. And we don't have the Lord's presence to comfort us. It's a long night indeed. Paul experienced a long night in which he wondered if he would even ever see the day again. While a prisoner in the great ship Alexandria, the storm broke upon that vessel, and all on board didn't think they were going to survive. And it was a long night. As we read in Acts, in the chapter 27, and there in Acts 27, we read in the verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Mark the words. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared," it was a long, long night. And we read the verse 29. For there in verse 29, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." Have you ever been there? When in your given situation, you have wished for the day. You wish for the hour when your troubles would end, when your tears would cease, and when that thorn in your side was taken away. You long for the day when the dark clouds would disappear and the sun would shine upon you once again. You wished for the day. Was that not something like the bride? She wished for the day. She wished for the hour when her beloved would come again, because his coming again would mean the end of her night, and her beloved coming to her would mean the dark shadows of the night would flee away. The darkness before the dawn, as well as her lonely night and her long night. There is surely here in these words her lament in the night. It is evident from these words that the bride was lamenting the absence of her beloved. She longed for his return. And with his return, the day would break and the shadows would flee away. It was good, you know. It was good that she felt his absence and the absence of her beloved. That was good. For it is true that for some, when the beloved withdraws his presence from them, they don't even notice his absence. They don't even sense that he is gone from them. We know a classic example of that was Samson. And there in the book of Judges, we read in Judges in the chapter 16. It's a familiar portion, but let us turn to it again, Judges 16. For there we read in verse 19, we know how he had been tempted by Delilah. He slept in her lap. And we read in verse 19 of Judges 16. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep. "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And then we have those words. "He wist not that the Lord departed from him." He didn't even know. He didn't even know. He didn't even notice the absence of his Lord and how Samson paid dearly for that. As we know, the Philistines took him, gouged out his eyes, and made sport of Samson. And how Samson wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And for Samson at that time, the day did not break, and the shadows of the night did not flee away at that time. But even for Samson in that desperate and lamentable situation, there was a darkness and there was a dawn, because the Lord did smile upon Samson again. We read in Judges 16, verse 30, that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. His victory was brief, but the Lord did smile on him again. And the Lord will smile upon us after the darkness. Well, so we have seen and considered the bride and her darkness. Next, let us see the bride and the dawn. Because here she says, "Until the day break," that's what she's waiting for. "Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether." There's the bride and the dawn. She's looking forward to the dawn. We're all aware just how welcoming the dawn is after a troublesome, sleepless night. We see from the words of the bride, that's what she was waiting for. That's what was upon her mind when the day would break and the shadows would flee away. In other words, she was waiting for her Lord to return. Regarding the bride and the dawn, we see her longing. She longed for the dawn, which would mean she would have her beloved with her again. How Job, in the midst of his trouble and trials, must have longed for the dawn. No, the Lord did not withdraw from his servant because of some particular sin in his life. And certainly Job could never be accused of being slack and slow to respond to the Lord. No, the reason for the Lord withdrawing from Job or withdrawing his presence from Job was to prove Job. Because you remember how Satan came with his temptations and basically told the Lord, if you withdraw all Job's benefits, he'll forsake thee. He'll go away from thee. As they say, in these days, so-and-so is only religious for religious sake. That was not the case with Job. The Lord withdrew his presence from Job to prove him, to test him, to prove that no matter what he would go through, he would still own his Lord. As we read in James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various temptations. The word temptations there is the word trials. May also be translated proof, to prove us. And so it was a proving time and a testing time for Job. And of course, Job didn't know why he was going through what he was going through. It had not been revealed to him. Nevertheless, Job certainly felt the absence of his Lord and Master and longed for his return. You turn to Job chapter 23. There in the opening verses of Job 23, as you see from the first verse, Job is the one who is speaking. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. There's his desire for the dawn of the day in his life. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. The Lord has withdrawn himself. That I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. Job's longing for that day. We see that in his words. He's longing for the breaking of the day when the Lord would show himself again to Job. In the dark shadows of his suffering and loss, would flee away. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Where is the Lord? I would come before him. Job longed for the dawn of a new day in his life. See how he longed for that day? And for the shadows of suffering to flee away. So we consider the bride and her longing. We consider the bride and her light. Her beloved was her light, the light of her life. Christ is the light of our life. And his appearance would bring with it the breaking of the day and the fleeing away of the shadows. The appearance of her beloved would cheer her, chase away the clouds of the night, and turn her night into day. Isn't that what our Beloved would do for us? For he is the light of the world. The day he saved us, he entered into our hearts and into our lives, and where there was darkness before, now there is light. And just as the Savior meant the breaking of the day for the bride, so he is the breaking of the day for us. As illustrated in that lovely portion of Scripture in John 21. For there in John 21, the disciples, Peter and six others, had denied the Lord and forsaken their Lord. And Peter, with oaths and curses, went back to the fishing and said to the others with him, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Back to the old life. And that night, so they had a nighttime experience. That night, they caught nothing. It was night for them, naturally. It was night for them spiritually. And then we have those lovely words of verse 4. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. You can connect the coming of the morning and the coming of Christ. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. You see, Christ always comes with the morning. Christ brings the morning. When he has withdrawn himself from us, and all is night and all is dark, well, there will be a dawn. And here were the disciples, and what a dawn it was for them. They had fished all night. That would have been one of the darkest nights those disciples ever experienced. They had forsaken their Savior. They were no longer serving him. They had gone back to the old paths. But then the morning came, and with the morning came Christ. After a long, lonely, and disappointing night, with the morning came the Savior. His appearance on the shore was the breaking of a new day. His appearance on the shore meant the fleeing away of the shadows of the night. But sure, it couldn't be any other way. Because who is our Beloved? Malachi 4 and 2 tells us, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. He's the Son of righteousness. And we all know, no matter how dark a night has been, the sun will rise. The sun will rise the next day. It will happen. We'll not be able to prevent the sun from rising. The sun will rise. And spiritually speaking, Christ, our Son of righteousness, after we have gone through a dark, dark night, for whatever reason, the sun will rise. Jesus Christ will show himself to us again. We will see his smiling face. He will bring us to the morning. And no matter how long or how lonely our night has been, the Sun of Righteousness will rise. Praise the Lord. And He will shine upon us. And the shadows of the night will flee away. It'll not always be night. As the hymn writer has put it, oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone. The day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. No, the Beloved has not left us. The Beloved has not left you. However dark your night, there will be the breaking of the dawn. We've seen the bride in her darkness, the bride in her dawn. Then we have the bride in her desire. For what do we read? The second half of the verse. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my Beloved. There's her desire. Turn, my Beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether, longing for the hour when she and her Beloved would be united again. She says, turn, my Beloved. There's her plea. There's her plea. She has missed out in fellowship with her Beloved because he has withdrawn himself. And her plea is, turn, my Beloved. When we miss out with the Lord and he's gone from us, would it not be our plea as well? Oh, turn, my Beloved. You've withdrawn your presence from me. Oh, then, Lord, turn. Come to me again. Cause thy face to shine upon me once more. Dispel the shadows of the night. Take away the darkness of the night that I have experienced. Bring me into communion and fellowship with thee once again. Cause thine arm to embrace me. Hold thou me up. Turn, O Beloved, come. Let me hear thy sweet voice. Let me feel thy tender touch. What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memory still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill. Turn then, O my Beloved, turn and come to me once again. Psalm 25, verse 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Similar to the cry of the bride. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate. I'm alone. And because I am alone, it's like a night time for me. Oh, turn and come unto me, my Beloved. That was her plea. Then we have her purpose. She wanted her Beloved to come to her quickly. That is seen in those words when she said, turn, my Beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart. A roe or a young hart was a young deer. And they were known for their speed and their sure-footedness. And here the bride is saying to her beloved, turn, my beloved, and be unto me like a roe or a young hart. In other words, she's saying, my beloved, come to me quickly. Just as the roe and the young hart are known for their speed and their haste, then, my beloved, come to me quickly. That's what she's saying. And when we miss fellowship in the company of our beloved, we can hardly wait to having him with us again. Yes, I know he's with us all the time, but there are those times when he withdraws himself for whatever reason, and we long for him to come to us and come quickly. Take away the shadows of the night. Let me bask in thine own light, even in the sunshine of the one who is the Son of Righteousness. And as we read in Revelation 22 and verse 20, surely, the Lord says, I come quickly. We can say amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We have the plea and the purpose. She wanted her beloved to come quickly. And then we have the place. She mentions a place. For she says, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. We know when we have a name that begins with Beth, we're given part of the meaning. Beth means house. And so whenever she said, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether, she's speaking about a house, and Bether means the house of division. The house of division. That's interesting. Because as far as the bride was concerned, for whatever reason, there was a division between her and her beloved. There was a division between her and her beloved. There was a space between the two of them. They were not in fellowship. They were not in communion. And for her, it was like a terrible dark night. And she wanted her beloved, she says, turn, my beloved. Be like a roe or a young roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. You see, the roe or a young hart, as we've said, was a sure-footed creature. It would have no problem coming over the mountains of Bether. It would have no problem crossing the great divide. Just like Christ. Just like our beloved. He will cross the great divide between ourselves and him. Whatever has caused that divide, in his mercy and his grace, he will come to us. If it's because of sin that he has withdrawn himself, when we repent of that sin, he will come. If it was slackness on our part, we repent of our slackness, he will come. And our night without his sense of his presence will be over. And the shadows of disappointment and despair will flee away. That's the darkness before the dawn. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And you think there's a great divide that existed between us and God while we were in our sin. Christ spanned that great divide, and he reconciled us to himself and to God. He's able to do it. And there is the darkness, but there'll always be a dawn. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving God, we come to thee again in the Saviour's name. O Lord, we thank thee that thou will come to us. The Lord will not abandon us entirely or at all. Thou mayest withdraw thyself, thy presence from us, and leave us, Lord, to think about how precious thy presence is. And O Lord God, we pray, in the words of the bride, turn, my beloved, and be like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Lord, turn our day, turn our night into day. Cause all the shadows of disappointment and despair to flee away. Be with us, Lord, throughout this day. Bless us this evening. Come and be with us tonight, O Lord. Grant us now traveling mercy. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. Indeed, until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.